Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, and today welcome author Ginny Gentry, who along with Lee McCormick, Francis Rico, Kelly Sullivan Walden, wrote Dreaming Heaven, offering their thoughts on how to discover your essential, authentic self in the plazas and temples of the ancient Toltec city of Teotihuacan in Mexico. The authors say this site is more than an archaeological wonder, and by ascending the pyramids of the moon and sun, you may discover what is real, authentic, and true of life. Hello, Ginny.
Hi, honey. So good to be with you today.
And you too. You know, Ginny, listeners of Healing From Within are well aware that the show focuses on questions that lead to an understanding of who we are as both spiritual and also our connection to universal energy and the evolutionary changes and shifts that are necessary now to higher consciousness as we refine our soul presence, thought patterns, and become active and conscious members of this changing world. But this is nothing new. In today's episode, you and I will talk about the past, exemplified by the legacy of one of the largest cities in the world with a multicultural population of more than 200,000 Toltec, Zapotec, and Mayan people who formed a spiritual center, which was the oldest mystery school in the Western Hemisphere, long, long ago. And as we walk the path of the Nahuals or Toltec guides, we may discover once again a pathway for us to clear obstacles, beliefs, limitations, negative experiences, shame or self-inflicted pain, addictions, and create the means for healing at the very deepest level or multidimensional level of our soul being. In reading the bios of each of the authors, I see there is quite a diversity in the interests and professions of each person who contributed to this project. So might you tell me how you all met and what is the commonality between your life experiences and your shared motivations?
Goodness, honey, that's going to take the whole show. We'll start with what did we have in common.
Okay.
With the two fellas, Lee McCormick and Francis Rico, and I know each other because of different trainings that we did with Miguel Ruiz, author of The Four Agreements.
Miguel was a guest on this show, and I was very blessed to have a beautiful conversation with him. Yes.
That's great. Well, I worked as Miguel's business manager, and I was his teaching partner for many years. And Rico was actually had gone to Teotihuacan on a journey where I became Miguel's teaching partner. So that's how Rico and I met. And then, 5 or 7 years later, Lee was coming out of recovery, and he began working with a couple of teachers that had also come out of the lineage about the same time I had started, you know, teaching with Miguel. So that was how we formed it. You know, we all had, you know, different reasons had brought us to the Toltec path, and so we ended up in this sort of loose net, if you will, of work that we did, you know, together or you know, similarly. Kelly actually came into this through me. She had come to see me when I was talking about another book I'd written in Los Angeles, and we just decided that we needed to become fast friends. And so I became friends with her and her husband, and it was her husband who actually ended up being the primary or one of the primary directors of our film Dreaming Heaven. So Kelly is a great author. She's been to Teo a number of times, and so she became sort of the backbone of the writing when we were going to describe the journey that we took there that was filmed in the documentary. And Kelly was on the journey, and so she wrote from the point of view of someone who was actually a student on the journey. And so we brought these different perspectives into both a documentary of a journey to Teo, and then a book about how you could do that journey at home, if you will, or at least you know, keep your own evolution going.
With the wisdom of the ancient Nahuals or Toltec wisdom, because that filters throughout the movie and throughout the book that you have.
Yes.
But
yes.
I'm going to say, Life is No Coincidence. That is my book. And your coming together with each and every one of these people was exactly how it was supposed to be in your soul plan, so that you could work together and share some of the wonderful information in this story. And in the preface and theme of Dreaming Heaven, it is said, and I'm going to read this, "We are divine beings dreaming the dream of our humanity. Many have lived without the truth of their unlimited potential and remain small and in fear. We are creating every day with every choice we make, whether or not we are aware of it. Miracles and magic are possible in every moment, yet most of us invest our faith and belief in stories that describe our limited perception of our spiritual gifts and potential creation. Many choose to live the role of victim, and a few choose the role of hero, no matter what their challenges, ultimately becoming the authentic, self-actualized human being we were born to be." That's quite powerful and quite accurate.
I actually wrote that part myself. That was one of my contributions to the book.
Quite on the money, quite truthful,
good.
Quite ancient, quite modern, quite everything about where we're going in our evolution and how we must begin to explore our inner wisdom and soul so that we can make this connection between heaven and earth. So can you explain the Dreaming Heaven process, and who is best suited to try this program?
Well, the Dreaming Heaven process is basically just a way that we decided to call the spiritual journey, the journey through Teotihuacan. You know, thousands of years ago, the ancient masters sort of mapped an energetic, we could say, it was like a process through the ascending levels of consciousness. You know, it was a way to begin to unravel the way that we had been indoctrinated into society, the way that we had been taught dualism, the way that, you know, so many...
Oh, the way we were perceiving the world, perhaps,
yes,
in our minds,
yes,
or illusion.
So that in the process at Teo, what happens is that all is peeled back. And so that you learn through experience that you are not your body, you're not your mind, you're not, you know, your emotions, that you are something far more vast, far more wondrous. But how we perceive that has to do with where we are in our own unfolding. So you could say that there might be a person walking through the journey that was really a profound master. And next to them, they might be walking alongside someone who was just really beginning to grasp that maybe there was so much more to reality than they had been led to understand. And so who is going to benefit from the journey? Well, gosh, both of them are.
Yes.
Because, you know, we bring to it wherever it is that we are in the moment and how we perceive it. You know, people go on these journeys many, many times. I have students that have been there many times. I went as a student probably 20 times before I was ever started teaching with Miguel. And what happens is it can seem like it's going to be the same. And gosh, is it different? Because it's like where our perception is, you know, at that time. So who's really going to benefit from the journey? Anyone who really wants, who's willing.
To explore and learn more about themselves and
absolutely
other people around them and the world and beyond this world, about energy, who wants to learn how to create and become a master of their own life. Yes, I would think that's so. And now I know a Nahual is a man or woman of power, meaning a shaman or a Toltec wisdom keeper. So on this journey is for everyone who wants to drop their heavy I've heard it said before, many people use this term, I don't, but they do use this term, heavy baggage, or the mask of pretense, or another word I hear people use, which I really had no understanding of for the longest time, was mirrors and smoke. And I'm a medium, so when I get a message for someone, one day I got that message, mirrors and smoke. What does that mean? And because I don't think sometimes in the same language as other people. So
sure.
What do we all need to let go of so we can find that inner peace and joy and river?
In my experience, I use the word, and you know, it's an interesting word because this word means so many things to different people. I think of it as we drop our fear. But if I say fear, people get all defensive and like, well, gosh, we need to be afraid. How else would we, you know, whatever. But if you think of all of the limiting thoughts that we have, be it judgment, envy, jealousy, you know, any of these things that are, you know, rise out of limitation, they all have a fear quality to it. So I'm not talking about the fear of the bear in the woods, which is a useful thing for our bodies, you know, to have access to, right?
Yeah.
I'm talking about the emotional fears that we've learned that really don't support the truth of our magnificence. So it's like, who are we really? Who is it that we are, you know, that exists beyond who we've been told we are? So, you know, this thing about smoke and mirrors, I mean, I have different ways that I look at it. I think if you ask, you know, 50 different people, you get 50 different answers. But, you know, the smoke is just this, I think what would aptly describe these things that we think of is so real. It's like we think of our fears as so real. And yet when you really investigate them, they can't hold up.
Now,
yet.
You know, I know that there are only two emotions in the world, fear and love. Everything else is just a variation of that theme. So you're right when you say people get frightened when they hear fear. But it's not exactly fear. It is anything that takes us away from being the loving, compassionate, expansive human beings that we were born to be, that we have the energy and the creativity within us to delve into. But yes, those negative emotions that are given to us in other people's stories, and we take it on our own two shoulders to carry along with the others, you know, that would be believing that we can't do something, believing someone might be able to do it better, when of course we've never even tried it ourselves, so how do we know we can't do it, you know?
Yes.
That there's so many layers to these two words, fear and love. But in essence, once the soul begins to awaken, we begin to see on that we're living on this grand stage of a grand theater, and life is really the story that we wish to write and to live, and that we're unlimited in our perception of ourselves and others. We can see them in many lights. They might have certain issues that are different from ours, because every soul is following different trends of behavior or thought due to this life, or maybe even a life before this time. And it's okay. See, so when we learn to get beyond everything and not judge and not be critical and not be afraid and not blame, then we are on the path to what the Naguals were looking for, self-actualization of perhaps the eternal soul.
I think you did a brilliant job on that, actually.
Thanks. Now, in the process, the participants in the film and in the writing were always flowing with collaboration and harmony. And tell us how important it is to find this state of cooperation and oneness, to find this peace with yourself and others in order to be part of a creative process. How important is it to be with similar energies or people who follow a similar path? But sometimes,
you know, I don't know if it's exactly important so much as it is profoundly easier. You know, when we go to Teo, I'm just reluctant to use the word important, because if someone can't do that, I don't want them to think they're disadvantaged in some
right.
way.
Right, you're right. It's a judgment word. We don't want to use that.
So what happens when we take these journeys? Is there a few, I'm going to call them unspoken rules. And the rules are you leave your judgment at home, you know. You leave your resistance to the best of your ability. You leave it at home. And when you have a group of people that are all show up with willingness, and of course, you know, we all run into our resistance, so don't get me wrong, of course we do. But when everyone shows up, going to do their best to be in the truth, going to do their very best to show up outside of fear, outside of judgment, it's a phenomenal thing. It creates a sense of safety that allows us to, expose, if you will, these things that we've been so ashamed of. We think we're so special, and it's just like everybody else.
Yes.
So when we're all aligned on the same page, it creates the most outrageously loving. And I don't want to use the word loving, because people take it and they just warp it and so forth. So let's say it creates profound acceptance. It creates a profound
Well, I would say, yeah, acceptance and allowing and surrendering to the beauty of your own being and to the beauty of others is a great gift if you can find that even in a moment in your life, right?
Yes.
That is joy, probably the greatest joy one can ever experience. And that is the hope that we have these journeys within ourselves and with other people to explore this beautiful world and to find life is a great gift. It's not something to be feared, as so many people think. It's not to have suffering. That's a choice. And people who are like us and listeners of this show are looking to find ways to expand and find the eternal truth and be committed in the search of our own vastness, our own vast purpose for living. So how many journeys have you led to Teo?
I've probably been on, let's say, 80 journeys.
Wow.
And so all the first 10 or 15, 20, I don't honestly have any idea. I was working as Miguel's manager, and so I was putting the journeys together. I was the brain, which is what he used to call it, you know, the person that would, you know, create the container, you know, get everyone there and safe and happy and so forth. And then, you know, it began to change because I began to teach down there, and I began to teach with Miguel. And this was not something I had aspired to. It was not something I was particularly interested in. But he was determined that that was
going
to be.
But you were called to do it, and I'm sure you're excellent at it. And he saw that potential in you and in all of us. There's something we could each teach to others. And he wanted you just to explore it, I think. And you did
you're
find
right.
You enjoyed it, probably. Now, tell us something about what you see. I'd like to, since you've been there so many times, I'd like to see this beautiful place. I have not been there. Through your eyes and words, could you tell us what you see and how you see it each time you go there? Because I know it's different each time you go there.
You know, the physicality of the place is stunning. If you were to look at it as a ruin, which is almost impossible, but you know, people will go, we're going to the ruins. And if you looked at just the edifice of the place, it's magnificent. The Pyramid of the Sun is larger than the Great Pyramid at Giza. Giza, I think, is a teeny bit taller, but in terms of the girth and so forth, it's actually larger at Teotihuacan. You know, there's blue skies and white puffy clouds, and often in the afternoon, there's thunderheads that come up. and just add to this changing tapestry of color and beauty. The vendors, and they're playing flutes, and there's a certain sound of children laughing and flutes playing that are, it's almost a constant soundtrack of Teo, is the sound of flutes in the background. It's unbelievable. I said it's an edifice, but it's a living edifice. It's a living being, and I don't want to say that in any kind of a scary way.
I see it in a beautiful way as you say it.
I'm so glad, because it is a profound place of being. It has an amplification quality. You know, I don't ascribe power that it's like there's no more God present than there is in any given moment. You know what I mean? But there is a place where when the veil is thinner, I don't know why that's like that, but it is like that. Experience says it's like that. There's a place where things are magnified, where the silent knowledge is so much more accessible. You know, we were talking about me teaching, and really how I see it. You know, I'm a clairsentient, and that's probably what got me on the journey, because I couldn't figure out why I was feeling all these things. But what happened was, let me tell you a little tiny story. The first time Miguel decided I was going to teach, we had 80 people at Teo, and the next 80 were coming in. It was something we did at a holy time of year. And in between the two groups of 80, he said to me, "You're going to teach tonight." And I said, "Well, I most certainly am not going to teach tonight." I said, "There are 80 people that paid money to come see you. They certainly didn't pay money to come see me." And he said, "And you'll be teaching tonight." So I just panicked. I completely panicked. I left the place where we were eating, and I went back to my room, and I was like, "Oh, my God, oh, my God." And I wanted to make notes, okay? So I'm sitting there making notes. Who knows what I was writing, but making a note. And there's a knock on my door, and he comes in with one of his old-time students. And he said, "What are you doing?" And they walk over to where I am. And I said, "Well, gosh, I'm preparing." And he said, "Yes, but we want you to come play with us." And they took my notes and tore them up. And they proceeded to hook my attention all afternoon. So that I was kept so busy until the next group arrived, when I had lots of chores to do. And so the first time I had a moment to myself where my mind could go explore it, I thought, I was walking back from the restaurant to the hotel when I was immediately going to be teaching. And I thought, "Well, girlfriend, you're going to have to trust, because that's all you've got here." And that night, the very first class I taught on trust, and it came through the silent knowledge. And my personality couldn't control it.
Your physical mind or ego and personality had trouble, but your inner soul was already ready to do this, and he knew that. And that's what a great teacher does, and that's what I would imagine a great Nagual, a soul or leader, or, you know, I know the name means where men become gods, the name of that holy place, spiritual place, ancient place. And when we remember that we have this divine spark of eternal life and the wisdom of the ages within us, I guess we do attain a certain level of divinity. Now, what can people do who go on your trip and do go through a transformation? What are they going to need to do to keep the sacred teaching alive in their lives when they return back to their normal everyday life? What can you suggest would be good ways to continue this quest or search?
I think this is a hard question, because it's really easy to get sucked back into the belief system.
Yes.
And you have to keep practicing. You have to really decide you're going to make an effort. You know, one of the things that I do, that I volunteer and do, is every Saturday one of us, 90% of the time it's me, lead a group. Anybody that's been on one of these Teo trips with us, they can participate in a phone call. And people check in, they let us know how they're doing, they ask questions, there's always some teaching that comes, and it keeps the connection.
Yeah, the connection. I think being honest and facing the truth is a beginning, and then the intentions to keep creating and going beyond your limiting choices or fear-based beliefs is another way to create. And then some people even find or create an amulet or talisman. That was spoken about. I had my own story on some of my trips where I was given by teachers items that are very precious to me. I don't really need them anymore to hold the energy, but at the time they helped me realize that I could just look at something beautiful and remember the way home and the way to healing. So you did mention all that. And I guess in our personal journey since childhood, you and I and the others who seek these truths have wanted to do what other people thought was impossible, to find that impossible dream, to experience life with truth, honor, courage, and love, and to stand in our own integrity. And I believe that is the way of the Taltic wisdom and the journey that you share in that beautiful place where you bring people to. And it speaks to me even through the cover of your book. When I just look at it, I feel lifting up into the wisdom of the others who have been before us and who are here now and who will be after us. So I want to thank you, Ginny Gentry, for sharing Dreaming Heaven, the film, and the journey book, which are a loving look at a mystical place, the ancient ruins in Mexico, and an engaging experience merging ancient wisdom with our modern changing lives. It may be the means to startle readers out of old belief systems which limit their discovery of their own essential self. For more information on this, please go to dreamingheaven.net and agapeme.com to purchase and learn more about the journey to the past that ultimately will lead you into your best future.
And in that, you can get it off of Amazon.com really easily also, Dreaming Heaven. And the book and the movie do come together. It's a package.
Terrific. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, Ginny and I have discussed the transformation possible by being part of age-old Taltic tradition, which offer the truth of our creative and expressive soul natures and the means to rediscover and live with peace, harmony, balance, and love in our present-day world. In pondering what is reality, it becomes clear that the ancient Taltics saw perception as a personal mythology based on an arbitrary point of view, not always accurate for the individual mirrored in philosophies, beliefs, and expectations of others. But it is our unique and divine right to discover the conditions that resound in our own soul vibration and to follow our own path, finding along the way the remembrance that we are magnificent energy beings. The time is now. It's not near. It's now, and the choice is ours to bring heaven to earth. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and I invite you on your journey of self-discovery by listening to leaders in the field of transformation on my website, CherylGlick.com, and WebTalkRadio.net, also DreamVisions7Radio.net. Thank you.